from compassion unbound. As we gradually clarify the heart's eye, the eye that sees the absolute, we more and more clearly experience unbound compassion. So here we are again, sitting with the crickets. Means another summer is passing. And in a way, for me, it feels like another year is passing. I feel like it wasn't so long ago we were appreciating the song of the crickets. And here they are, really in full bloom this evening. So beautiful. And we're all here clarifying the heart's eye. It's an interesting phrase, the heart's eye, to see with the heart. Quite poetic. It must be another kind of seeing. It's interesting to let that phrase sink in. Sometimes we say, all beings reside in the heart. Indeed, an aspiration in Zen practice and Buddhist practice is to allow all beings to reside in our hearts. So what is this heart? It may seem obvious on some level. Oh, the heart is, you know, your feelings or your care or something like that. But that's not quite it. The heart here is referring to our true nature. It's referring to our true self. Sometimes we talk about the heart-mind. They aren't really separate, and so they're hyphenated. What is our true self? We say that when we come to more clearly see the absolute, compassion grows. What is this absolute that we see? I've spoken before about relative and absolute truth, and this can get kind of heady. And I'd rather kind of keep it clean, if we can, this evening. In brief, the relative truth is the way that we talk about things. It's the way that we think about things. It's the way that language classifies the world into this and that. It's how we give everything a name. There's me, and there's you. And it's easy to only see the world through the lens of relative truth. We're so conditioned by our society and culture to pay attention to the discriminating mind, the mind which distinguishes this from that. which separates. This is how we create boundaries between nations. This is how I know what is mine and you know what is yours. There are uses to this mind, of course. It helps us to understand when we are hungry that we need to eat and what we need to eat. It also causes some trouble for us because when we live so much in the mind of relative truth, separating this from that, we can lose touch with our heart. The heart is penetrated by all beings. So we talk about the absolute truth as if it were somehow different from the relative truth. And it is when we are talking about the two in relation in this way. The absolute truth is the way that all things are interwoven and inseparable. The absolute truth is that all beings reside in our hearts. The absolute truth is that I can't tell where the sound of the crickets is. Is it in my mind? Is the sound in the air? Is it out in the yard? It's everywhere. Now my analytical mind can explain it and tell stories about it. But the absolute truth is what is here in a way before the analytical mind takes over and tells its story of origins. Now, one way to see more clearly into the absolute truth is to look deeply into the relative truth. And a great koan is, who am I? So the most primary distinction that we make is between ourselves and the rest of the world. There is me, and there is everything else. Perhaps the first relative truth we come to believe in, I don't know. And it's not wrong. But in believing in the separateness too much, we create a sense of isolation. We create a sense of separateness that can often feel painful and lonely, that sets us up against others, perhaps in competition for things or power. And a great deal of suffering can be produced in the world in this way. We set up our boundaries and our walls, but when we look deeply into any relative truth, we find that all beings are there. So we can look deeply into the self as an example. Thus the koan, who am I? And when I look deeply into myself, what I see is many things that are not me. I see the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, my thoughts, which are in a language which I did not invent, but which was shared with me by others. Preferences, some of which may have been conditioned in part by our society. Many of these dependent arisings, we call them. And most fundamentally, I see an awareness of all these thoughts and things beyond thoughts, like the sound of the fan and crickets, the sense of the cushion. And I see that it's very hard to distinguish between the sensation itself, between myself and the cushion. There's just a sensation. And somehow the cushion is part of my sensation. And I realize that the boundaries that I draw are fairly arbitrary. Where does the line between me and what is outside of me, where is it exactly? Is it when the air enters my mouth? When it enters my throat? When it enters my lungs? When it enters my bloodstream? Where am I drawing the line between self and other? So in the relative truth way, we can say there is self and other, and this is true. And we can look more deeply and see that the self is made of non-self elements, and that there really is no gap at all. There is no separation at all. We really are stardust. We really are one with all beings in quite a profound way. This absolute truth that is always true is not an argument. It's not something that we have to believe with our mind. In fact, those beliefs can become quite distracting for us. Those beliefs themselves are just more labels, more relative truth. Our practice is to look and see not so much with our conceptual mind, which can lead us all over the place, but with our heart, with our awareness. And so we meditate and we look. What is this? What is here now? Who am I? And we look. We let thoughts come and go. We don't hook on to any particular thought as being the right thought or the wrong thought. Thoughts are just thoughts. And we open wide, we open beyond those thoughts to whatever is present. And bit by bit, we begin to feel this intimacy with the world. This profoundly moving, touching, beautiful intimacy with all beings, right here. This is not abstract. This intimacy is our big, compassionate heart. To clarify this intimacy, to clarify this intimacy with all beings, again, not as an abstraction, but as our lived experience, through opening our heart to the presence of all beings, through opening beyond our thoughts to things just as they are, this intimacy becomes clear, our boundless true nature reveals itself. And this is compassion. When a child falls and bangs her head, we cringe. We feel the thump, not as if it were our own head particularly, but we feel the thump itself. In our own nervous system, in our own heart. That's how deeply interwoven we are. So this compassion begins to manifest as our true nature. And bit by bit, we find ourselves moved to act on this compassion, on this care for all beings, all life. And of course, this is quite a vulnerable enterprise, because in this caring, we are heartbroken when people are hurt. Part of the price we pay for realizing our true nature. It's a love. And so we are inspired by this care to do what we can to save all beings, to care for all beings. And thus our great bodhisattva vow, save all beings. The heart of the matter, the heart of Buddhist practice. And it's why we take the precepts. The precepts are our vows to cause as little harm as we can and to be of great a benefit as we can. They are the manifestation of our compassionate true nature. So it all comes back to our sitting here together, the way we are tonight. It all comes back to looking. It all comes back to this meditative endeavor of more and more, of clarifying our true nature, of clarifying this absolute truth of our deep interwovenness and interconnectedness. And seeing that right here in the relative truth of our separate selves, each of us, a universe manifesting. And so Buddha said on the morning of his enlightenment, I, together with all beings, have attained the way. No other way to save all beings, but together with all beings. A deep manifestation of our true nature. So this encouragement as a final word here, persist. Where we feel that separateness arising, where we feel that sense of loneliness or antagonism, persist. Keep looking. Keep looking and allow that true nature to become clearer and clearer. This is a lifelong project, never completed. For the sake of saving all beings.